So friends, let us begin with our regular opening chant. Vande Vamsi Dharam Krishna Smayamana Mukhambujam Pita that guides us to the ultimate goal of life. We have been seeing how by doing one's own duty in the spirit of worship, we ultimately reach the goal. This path is most suitable for almost everyone. In fact, since everybody has to perform work, there is no one who doesn't have to perform work in life. This particular turn given to our work, to take it to the ultimate liberation, is most important teaching to be followed, and in Bhagavad Gita it has been elucidated in different contexts with different facets of it many times. But what we saw in the last class is kind of culmination, a masterpiece, a crowning glory of all this science of Karma Yoga that is told, and that is Sve Sve Karmani Abhiratah, the verse 45th, that doing your whatever work that has come your way, do it with the spirit of dedication, that you don't have to change the work per se. Nothing against changing the work, but let us not think that this particular work is an obstacle in my path. you do whatever work that has come to you and then do it with the spirit of dedication. And then when you give that turn to it, that very work becomes worship. See, this is how there is this intrinsic connection between the work and the worship that is being exploited here. Worship is not something that people spontaneously connect to like they connect to work. If people are told in general, I can give my own example, that do the worship, the questions come that why should I do this, what is the meaning of all this, and what is the offering flower, where does it go after all, what is the meaning of offering food for this, the food to Lord, where does it go, and why should it be done in this manner and not that manner. So many questions do come. Not that those questions cannot be answered, but the doubts come because we as human beings do not quickly see the connection. But when it comes to work, it is spontaneous. If I say, Harry, come do worship, Harry will feel, hey, what is the use of doing it? Maybe he will do, but will think, I don't see any meaning in doing it. But if I tell Harry, don't you see, yes, this hall, there is so much dust here, so much, let us clean it, come on. And then Harry gets the connection, yeah, this is work, this is to be done. He sees the connection quickly, that the work, yes, we have to eat, is it not, yes, so let us cook, yeah. So the connection is seen quickly between the work and the need to do it. That this is something I need to do, the connection gets formed very quickly with work. That it is, of course, it is nothing to say against, say, ritualistic worship or sitting for meditation, but not that everybody is well trained or equipped to do that, but this is something that has this capability to convert the work into worship. You don't have to do something very special. We all have to do different works. Somebody will be engaged, say, in a lawyer's job, somebody in a teacher's job, somebody would be having a business, somebody will be having some manufacturing something, somebody would be a student. So many different types of works people have to do, and they know they have to do. But now that work can be turned to make it into a worship. So beautifully this verse has explained it. I have really not found it such a great idea explained in such brevity. It is only a few words, but they are so potent. The first verse that we saw, that it is, one should abhirataha, that is a very beautiful word, that one should do these works with love, not as if some big burden has fallen on my head and I have to do. It increases the problem further. This is one thing that I learned right in the beginning of my monastic life from a Swami, that some work was entrusted to me, hey, you have to do, and I had to get up early in the morning, and so Sometimes our desire to sleep a little more comes in the way. So I was grumbling. Anyway, I had to do it, so I had to push myself out and do it. And then I was feeling, hey, what is this? Then one Swami told me, and that was a great idea, friends, that anyway you are doing. Now, even if you get irritated, you do it. Even if you don't get irritated, you do it. So why heat up your brain? It is do it smilingly. Why you lose your smile? Anyway, you have to do it. There is no escape. It is a duty given to you. It is a work that has come to you in this our community living, and everybody has to share the works. So this is the work you have to do. Now, if you don't want to do it and if you are not going to do it, it is one thing. But if you are going to do it anyway, then why grumble? Why make a long, sad face? And do it smilingly, and then you will see that your mood remains good. You feel joy. And it was true. It is just change of attitude, friends. Nothing much needs to be done there. Just see that you do it with love, with involvement, because that is what is going to make you better. Simple things, you know, that whatever you have to do, do it scattering the blessings around you, scattering joy around you. You can smile and do it instead of with a twitched nose and angry face. It is no point. Either don't do it. That is another thing. Don't do it and see if you can stay without doing anything or something that will not make you angry. It is give up work, and you will soon discover that that is not a possibility. We have to do some work or other work. There is no escape from work. In fact, work is a big necessity for most of us. Tell most people to meditate. After 15 minutes or even 5 minutes, there will be fidgeting of body. The mind will start roaming around everywhere, and then you feel, oh, for such a long time to sit, I have been sitting for 20 minutes. My feet, they have become binam. They have gone to sleep. Come on, let me get up and walk. And it is not easy just to sit idle. Work is a big necessity. If you don't have any work, people can just lose their sanity. Work is important even just to maintain a level of sanity. Otherwise, people can go insane just because of want of work. Tell a person to sit and no work at all. 99% people or more will look for some work. It is will do something. It is they say that if a carpenter didn't get any work, it is always in the habit of working, has to work, and God gets so much involved and accustomed to doing it. Tell him no work. You were grumbling about having too much work. So come on, from today you will be given food. No problem. You will be given food. You will be given house to stay. No work. Absolutely no work. And it is said that that fellow so much used to use this cutting those saws and other things. Since there is no work to cut anything, may cut his own nose. Cannot withstand that pressure of not doing anything. It is a big pressure. Work is a very important psychological necessity. It is because we need work just to keep ourselves sane. It is when people therefore get suddenly retired or go out of job, the main problem is that the depression sets in. It is not that the person has no money or livelihood or can get something as a matter of say unemployment just to continue, just to sustain. But work is being sought. We need work. Otherwise, the mind soon goes into a very depressed mode. So, therefore, work is something we need to do. And then do it happily. And why keep on making a weeping face and curse everybody else? It is. And this, everybody does it. Right from my childhood, I have been seeing, I myself do that. That thing that I do the work while others don't do. It is not easy to know that feeling is a very wrong feeling. It doesn't help us at all. It hurts us in fact. But still we become victim of such feeling that look, I am doing so much of work. So much of work. And then somehow I feel that what a great blessings that I am doing so much of work and the world is benefited by me. It is these are my obligations that I am doing all these things and the world should be feel indebted to me for doing all this. But really, who cares? When I used to think like that, then one of my friends said, "Fellow, who cares for your work? You think big about yourself, and that you are managing this and you are doing this and you are doing that. Who cares? It is you think you are doing it for the and so the world should be respecting you for that. World has no time. There are millions and millions of likes of you who keep on sweating the whole time. What big thing that you are doing?" So immediately when you ponder over it, you see the reality of it that. What special thing I am doing here? Nothing much. So you learn humility, and also that takes away that irritation inside. Yes, this is what I am doing for my improvement. That's all. The work can never do any good to the world. But it has the potential, if done in the right way, to do good to yourself. And every work has that potential. Not that only some works have it. Every work has that potential. Only the attitude is important. That is why in the book Karma Yoga, Vivekananda has that second chapter in that book, very beautiful. That each is great in his own place. Every work is important. Whatever work that has come to us, each person doing his own work. Don't try to do somebody else's work. Do your work that is being engaged in your work, that is great for you. Do that work in a dedicated manner and by that you will get this great benefit of realizing the ultimate goal that becomes worship. Offer your works. The 46th verse has indicated this, that, and in a very forceful manner, that we all Everything here is just manifestation of the one divine. This one, one without second, manifests in all these forms. These forms come and go. Now look at where these forms come from. Look at their source and see that that source is all pervading. And then worship that source of everything, the divine, by your work. It is just worship. Offer that work, and that will convert this work into worship. Although there are these, just for our understanding, the divisions of yoga, aspects of yoga like yoga of action and yoga of devotion and yoga of knowledge. Here you see that yoga of action is becoming yoga of devotion, because now that action has become now worship. So it has acquired the character now of bhakti yoga or yoga of devotion. It is yatha pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam, that by that which everything is pervaded, worship that by offering your actions, swakarmana. Beautiful idea. It is the particular case ending that indicates the instrumentality. That what instrument you have to use for the worship? No other instruments. Your work is the instrument. By using that instrument, do the worship of God, this all-pervading reality. So, just like you offer flowers, one great saint, Jnaneshwar, he therefore says that these your actions, they become the flowers that you offer. Otherwise, you offer flowers, nothing wrong in that. But think that every action that I am doing, that is a flower. And I am offering that flower to worship the divine. The idea is so sublime. And I can tell you from the experiences of so many spiritual aspirants that I had, I am blessed to see so many such people, that by doing this, offering the flower of action, they have worshipped the divine. And while doing it, now what happens when you do the worship? Say you offer a flower to Lord or offer food to Lord, not with the idea that, well, Lord doesn't have flowers, so because I offer, the Lord gets flowers. The whole thing belongs to Lord. What is that? Because if I don't offer food to God, the God will have to go hungry. I am offering food to God. No, it is just offering by our love. It is our love is getting expressed, devotion is getting expressed, not because Lord needs it, but by doing so we get connected, and we, our pettiness, our ignorance, all starts vanishing. This is to the actions. Nothing needs to be done. See the line, the fictitious dividing line between the so-called spiritual and so-called secular is just removed by this verse. That there is nothing like a secular. The worship also, a ritualistic worship, if not done with this attitude, it is secular. But if our actions, common works that we do, if they are done with the spirit of worship, well, that is worship. Spirit the attitude that determines if something is worship or just an action. So an action, it can be converted into worship, it should be converted into worship, and thus we all, without doing anything externally very special, realize the ultimate truth. This is a great blessing for all of us. Look at this. You don't need to be a great scholar of scriptures. You do not need to be meditating a long time. You do not need to perform worship in the ritualistic way for hours and hours. You do not need any of these things, but no harm in doing those things either. But more importantly, whatever work we are doing, let that be the flower offered to Lord. That makes it worship. Such a simple thing. The work that we may be doing anywhere, of any particular type, that does not matter. Let us do it happily. Let us do it as a means of our own improvement. And thus, its character changes from inside. And that very work becomes worship. It is, and anybody can see the efficacy of it. This is, as I had been telling, we have been seeing this idea that this is a science, verifiable. Everybody can verify it. Not that you have to just take it on faith, but do it and see the changes that take place in your life. Nothing, you don't need to make a big investment. This experiment is not like that Hadron Collider that you have to build, say trillions of dollars have to be spent, and then that experiment can be performed. And so if I tell Girish, please perform that experiment, he will say, Swami, please, I cannot do that. I don't have $1 trillion nor the knowledge of all that. No, not for me. But this is an experiment that doesn't cost us anything. Simple, just change the attitude in the work. You don't lose anything at all in this. If one thing you will lose is grumpiness. Who wants to be grumpy anyway? So, you will lose your grumpiness. Do you want to retain grumpiness, Abhijit? No, we don't want to retain grumpiness. That will be gone, and thus we will be losing nothing in doing this experiment. See, the life will change, and we will see the verification of it. Earlier in the third chapter, Lord had mentioned this, second chapter I think, that you can see the result very quickly. There is no loss to be incurred, and there is no side effects also. Some experiments may have some side effects, some medications may have side effects. This has no side effects, and you can verify the results right away. In a few days, in a few months, you will see a change in the attitude, change in the personality. There will be a very positive change that one can see. So this is the idea that, and then it is told that this is a psychology, that we feel that my work isn't that rewarding. The other person's work is so simple, so nice. Let me take it up. My work involves so much of hardship. Why should I be doing it? Look at that Swami, does nothing and gives a lot of just lectures. What does it take? Let me take up the work of the Swami. Okay, when you get that, take it up. It is when one of our wonderful Swamis, he was giving class. So he said, look, now your job is to listen and my job is to speak. Maybe many of you are better speakers than I am, but right now your work is not to give talk but to listen and absorb. So do that, that's it. Why I think that if the other work, if you get the work of giving talk, fine, then at that time don't listen. Means you can listen your own words, no problem, but then you can give talk. But the idea is that the mind immediately tries to compare the work that the others are doing. I see that my work entails so much of hardship and no rest at all. 24 hours I have to keep on working. But if you see that it is a really not a big problem, we feel that it is a lot of work and no rest. She was thinking one time that, oh, in my work I had to continuously be busy, no rest. This happened about maybe 30 years back or so. I was traveling in a train, and at about 4 o'clock the train stopped at one station about close to 4 hours from Pune, and then one gentleman got in. And I just said, hey, how you got in at this hour, and you don't you know that this is a reserved compartment? I said, doesn't matter, I every day get in. So, nice guy. So I said, what, you come every day? Yes, at 4 o'clock. And he said that he bicycles from his village to catch this train, and about 40 minutes on bicycle. So he says he starts, he gets up at about 2:30 in the morning, finishes everything, and then gets on the bike and catches this train at 4 o'clock, reaches that Pune at about 8 o'clock, and then there is his company's bus waiting for him, takes another hour long commute, takes them there. So, and up to 6 o'clock he works there, again commute back, brings them to the station. He again takes the down train, the same train that is going in the reverse direction. It is from about 8 o'clock or something in the night that train leaves. So he comes back at 12 o'clock to that train station, gets down, bicycles back. So, and he does it all every day, he is doing it. So imagine, you know, all the idea that I had that, oh, what a big work I am doing, just vanished there, that I have no rest. So don't look at this fellow. He is managing all these things very nicely. And I feel this idea, oh, what big work I have to do and this and that. See, so there are so many in the world that have to do a lot of work. Why think that we are some special beings? It is, do that work. Shreyan Swadharmo, 47th verse. And this idea is repeated in Bhagavad Gita very often. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunah Paradharma Svanushtitat Swabhavaniyatam Karma Kurvan Napnoti Kilbisham. Better is one's own duty, though defective, than the duty of another well performed. doing the duty ordained by one's own nature, one incurs no sin. And the whatever work has come to your way, maybe there are defects in it, but that is the way that you will be progressing. Your path may have defects, and the other person's path may not have defects. But you cannot do that person's work, that is not available to you. So the result in this is that you do not progress at all. You keep on thinking about other person's work, and that is not your work, you are not able to do it. And because you are thinking about that person's work and thinking your work is terrible and not good, you don't do your work properly. So thus, the result is that you do not progress. So therefore, whatever work one has to do, do it with this idea. Don't look at that how other people are so nice and their life is so good. It is sometimes people keep on telling that why all these problems should come only in my life, why me? Look at that, my neighbors, they are so happy, they are doing everything so fine, they don't have to suffer. Only in my case it is happening like this, but it is really not the case. There is that nice story, and that we have to see that that the suffering is with everybody, but my suffering becomes more for me. The other person's suffering I do not consider that much. It is a man was having lot of suffering, and so he went to a sage and asked the sage, do you have any solution? I have lot of misery in life. So he said, simple thing, you know, it is the medicine is simple, that just put on the shirt of a really happy person. Take the shirt of a happy person, you put it on, and then that will take away all your miseries. He thought, hey, this sounds very simple, can this really work? It's just by putting the shirt of a happy person, will it work? If I have the problem and I say, Sam looks very happy all the time and keeps on cracking jokes and all that, and if I take the shirt of Sam and put it on, hey, I will, all my miseries will go away. And that man thought like that, and he thought it is, this doesn't sound credulous, but let me give it a try. What is harm? My neighbor is looks like a very happy person, no problem on earth, has good job, good income, nice kids, and so forth. So he knocks on his door. Hey dear, hey, okay, yes, please come in, welcome. What brings you here today? No, nothing much, you know, but I want your shirt. And then Sam asks, okay, take Swami shirt, but why? No, I, you know, was told that my miseries will go away if I put on the shirt of a very happy man. And then Sam thinks, well, then my shirt may not work. I have so many problems, this, that, and then I have to take care of. So I am not really that happy. I try to put on a happy face and all that, but actually I am not that happy person, so my shirt will not work. Then he knocks at some other doors and soon discovers that there is no happy person. And then he realizes that and this suffering is kind of universal thing. Everybody has problems. My work alone is not tiresome or is defective. Everybody has their problems. So he decided to go to that sage and tell him that, look, you were trying to probably, that remedy is not simple. And he also thought, let me ask this shirt of that sage. He looked very happy. So let me go and ask for his shirt. And he goes there, and well, the words died in his mouth because that sage was not wearing any shirt. So this has a lot of symbology. The shirt is all the limiting actions that we put on, you know. So a sage is free from all the limiting adjuncts and also the consequent misery. The idea is that everyone in the world suffers. So we think that my suffering is more, so we want to change the work, take up the work of somebody else. That is, when you get it, do it. That is another thing. But don't curse your work. That is the means of your worship. Why are you cursing the means of worship? It is the means that is going to be taking you for further advancement. So do it. So in the 40th verse, Lord says that sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham api natyajet sarvarambha hi doshena dhumena agnirivavritaha. One should not, O son of Kunti, relinquish the duty to which one is born, although it may be attended with evil. For all undertakings are covered by defect as fire by smoke. Whenever there is fire, there will be a little smoke. So like that, every work will have some problem or the other. So there is no possibility of finding a work without any defect or any problem. It is, after all, in a relative world. So, as Plato had found out that there is no perfection in this relative world. It is impossible to crave. It is an ideal thing. Yes. And not in the relative world, there will not be the perfect beauty and the perfection as such. So there will be some defect on the others. But so whatever has come your way, do it. It is that whatever work you are born with, that is not the idea exactly. Born means the tendencies that you are born with. Those make you adept in certain works, and they will come to you. Do them. If some other works come to you, okay, do it. The central, that is, which work is not important, that is the central point. Which work you are doing, do it with this attitude. That is the message. They don't curse your work, curse your ignorance. And do the work with that is a happy attitude. And then, now this work takes you to the fulfillment, and then there is no further need for that work. This is a great statement that many find difficult to understand because of some idea that we have of infinite progress, progressing infinitely, continuous, infinite, non-stop progress. This concept is really meaningless. And Swami Vivekananda has shown that the progress, the very word suggests that there is a goal for it, a destination for it. When you get there, now there is nothing further to be progressed. It comes to the culmination. It is like your journey to a destination. When you get there, now the journey stops. Not that continuously moving, no. It is when you come to your destination, now it is time to stop. So this karma yoga leads us to a stage where now you don't have to worry about doing work. It is called Naishkarmya Siddhi. in Sanskrit. Let us read this 49th verse. Asaptah buddhi sarvatra jitatma vigata spruha naishkarma siddhim paramam sanyasena adhigacchati. He whose understanding is unattached everywhere, whose mind is conquered, who is bereft of desires, attains by renunciation that supreme state of freedom from action. Do your actions so that you will get freedom from action. It is here that you can really get relaxation. When the actions are done in the right way, then they lead you to that transcendence of action or inaction. And now the work is all done, so you can be free. You don't have anything now to do, no bondage at all. So, if we don't do it in the right way, it will never end, and we will have to keep on doing it birth after birth. Never-ending work. It is not a progress, but continuous change. The work never finishes because you are not doing it in the right way. If a person is told in a round circular room that sit in a corner, now what will happen? That person will keep on because there is no corner to the room. So we'll continuously keep on walking. There is no sitting because the fellow has to sit in a corner. And there is no corner to the room, so we'll keep on walking all the time. So we have chosen some such impossible ideal in life. And thus keep on working, working, working all the time. The work never comes to an end because we are not doing it the right way. When we do the right way, the job is done, the work is done, and then you can take rest. Otherwise, the work is not done, you have to be at it all the time. It is like you have to open a lock. Now, if you don't have the right key, then you can keep on pushing it here, there, do it for a long time. It doesn't work. Because you are using a wrong key, so the work will not get done. But if you find the right key and then use it, now the work is done. So, like that, when the work is done in the right spirit, now it leads to spiritual development. And now you reach the ultimate goal of life. You see, this is a realization that comes to people that you are everything. You are everywhere. Now, that idea of I am doing the work goes away completely. There is no that I is gone, that limited I is gone. So there is no work as such for this person. Externally you will see that person is doing this, maybe the same work. Before getting this realization, suppose he was a carpenter, he may be seen doing the same carpentry. He may be doing the same teaching work or lawyer's work or whatever. But now, for that person, the ego is gone, the I is gone. Now no work is being done. The work has been transcended. This is a great state of existence, that you see that you are the whole. Now there is the goal has been achieved, the life has reached the ultimate evolution. There is no progress from here, it is fulfillment. So therefore this person has attained the state of no work. Please remember that does not necessarily mean that the person will be sitting idle. Maybe sitting or not sitting. There is no rules for this person anymore. is beyond this need of any work now. Has attained a state where now no further spiritual progress is basically possible. Like climbing higher than Everest, what are you going to do? You have reached the highest peak, so further going higher is not possible. You have to just go down from there. There is no going higher. It is, somebody asked me, I was in the basement, that, Swami, are you going up? I said, well, this is the basement, so I cannot go down anymore, so I have to go up. So, it is in that state, now there is no further evolution. One has attained the goal of life, and so no work is now binding on that person. So, that is called Naishkarmya, transcending all work. So, and how does it happen? Asakta Buddhi. Now there is no attachment to anything. There is abundance of love, tremendous involvement, but there is no attachment. Sarvatra and Jitatma, there is complete control on the mind and senses. Nothing has the capacity now to bind that person's mind or attract against that person's judgment. And Vigata Spriha, no desires are left there. There is no possibility of desire, you know. Desire is only when a person has that delusion that I am this and that is that thing, and if I get that, then I will become happy. Then you go to grab it. So that idea is not there at all. All happiness is already found. So no desires possible there. So the highest renunciation takes place there. So sannyasena. Now the work is given up. The person, like you want to go somewhere, get into the flight, and when the flight lands, the aircraft has landed somewhere. Now what happens? Now you don't sit there. Now you give up sitting in the aircraft. You give up that aircraft because the job is done. So work was used as this great aircraft to get to the highest goal of life. And then now it has landed. And now you don't need that work anymore, you give it up. So this is just an analogy, friends. We have no other way but to express things in these manners. Don't take it too literally, but the idea is there is no further evolution here. And then that will be shown how this progress on this path of attaining knowledge takes place in life. From the next 50th verse onwards, Lord will tell that how one regulates one life in this manner and so forth. And we will try to see it from the next class, that is the coming Tuesday. Any questions about today's discussion? Yes, Richard?
Well, I have a comment. Recently, some people went on strike in part of the world where they wanted to get a raise so they'd make $77 per month. People would make the iPhone get $80 per month because they really got a raise of about 14%. We essentially have de facto slaves. Should those slaves be happy, or should we be revolutionary about this and figure out a way to share the wealth more?
Well, if they want to be revolutionary, they should be happily revolutionarily. The question is that of happiness. Whatever you are going to do, do it as worship. If you want to say that, no, I should get more wages, it is a fight for justice, okay, do it. Even that has to be done. See, Lord is telling this to Arjuna to fight, and fight with this equanimity. So that is and when one tries to do that, many things start shining up in life, that it is how much is it for justice, how much for selfishness, how much due to anger, all these things come to picture. It is therefore one can do that, no problem, but you have to be doing it happily too.
So do you think that your words will get to those people?
I don't know. There would be some way to get the wisdom. Lord has His ways of taking wisdom to all different hearts, you know. Yeah. It is not that what I am telling is just to get wisdom here, you know. That is why these classes are. If somebody else gets out of it, that is a byproduct. So, if it comes here, that is the main idea. Yes, Charles.
We generally feel that when we do our work, it does some good. But then in another sense, the world doesn't need it and God doesn't need it. So, would you say that in the relative sense it does good, but in the absolute sense there's no purpose?
Well, even in relative sense, it does good to you. In the relative sense, first of all, good to the world cannot be defined at all. What is good to the world? Our idea of world is so very limited that doing good, maybe it may do some, give some benefit to some people. We think that it has done good to the world. While doing it, we are oblivious that how much harm it might have done to somebody else. So, our idea of doing good, Swami Vivekananda has spent a lot of, his writings on this great idea, his lectures and writings about doing good. Do you have any concrete idea that will be, everybody will agree that this is good to the world? Try and you will see that you cannot do any work which will not be doing some harm to someone. Moreover, we don't have the right to say. The common example that he gives is that ask a child, and then doing good to the world means providing candies to everybody in ample quantity. That is doing good to the world. Why these grown-up people silly? They are thinking of so many plans and building schools. My goodness, they think that building school is good to the world. I hate studying, and then it is causing so much problem in life. Just simple. Make more Hershey factories, and that will be doing good to the world.
What is the motivation for doing work?
That is, what is the motivation to go to the gym? To make the gym run?
No.
Exactly. You got the point. It is doing good. This is a very tricky thing. I suggest people should read that Swami Vivekananda's book, that Karma Yoga, especially the last 3-4 chapters, they elucidate this point very beautifully, that doing good to the world, first of all, we don't have any understanding of what is good. Second thing is, we all have our own idea of good. Now do it. Do work for that. Always knowing that ultimately this is only for the good here. It will just make me stronger, make me spiritually better, it will expand my awareness. So do good, it sounds like contradictory, but it is true that you have to do good to the world. The idea should be not to hurt the world. And we, each of us, have a concept of doing good to the world. So let us do good to the world. but still know that it is not doing good to the world, but doing good to myself. This is the training that we have to take. That it is like when you are, say, expanding that chest expander in the gym. Now, apparently you are doing it to do that, to expand that. But the inner goal, the idea is not to make that change, but to change is to be brought here. So that is how, do good to the world. Lord has kept ample scope, therefore, so many suffering people are around. Do good to, try doing good to them. And you will soon discover that there is nothing like doing good to them, but doing good to yourself. It is after a lot of such struggles, this truth dawns upon us, that what is good to the world and what great good we have done to the world, it doesn't have any meaning. It is like, it is enormous. Pouring a bucket full of water in the ocean and they say how much level has increased, it is foolishness. So, but yet, that will add to our wisdom. So for that we should be doing it. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Coming Sunday there is a very special lecture on the dance of Shiva, and there will be that dance also will be done, and I will read the script, very beautiful. Pam will be giving that lecture, please try to come. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehe Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Vitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namah